So I'm half German, meaning my mum's side of the family is German. And in particular, what's great about this whole German thing is Christmas. The Germans do Christmas well and properly, and somehow over there, it works. It's amazing. So let me lay it out for you. Firstly, there's a German word and another one of their fabulous compound words called Vorfreude, and it sums up a lot of how the Germans extend and relish the whole Christmas thing. Vorfreude means before joy, or perhaps anticipatory joy. And there's this whole concept attached that the best part of anything is going to be the anticipation. That nothing, once it's real and here, is as good or precious as the process of getting there or looking forward to it. Very zen. Anyway, to get the whole ball rolling, there's St. Nikolaus Tag, St. Nicholas's Day, which is kind of a German mini Christmas, just to give the kids something to chew on for the coming weeks. On the evening of the 4th of December, all the kids put out their biggest boot. You want lots of size, so there's lots of room inside for sweets. And then they've got to be freshly polished, so all the kids spend ages polishing up their boots on the night before. Again, here an example of Vorfreude. And then they leave them outside their bedrooms and go to sleep. And then the next day, on the 5th of December, well, St. Nick has been. And the boots are stuffed full of goodies. There's a few lollies, but lots of nuts, some mandarins, and usually one or two little toys. Just lots of little goodies. A taste of what's to come. But what's interesting about this whole St. Nick's thing is that whereas at Christmas, it's a guaranteed bet you're going to get lots of new toys and stuff. Whereas St. Nick is the real disciplinarian of the whole deal. He's the one with die Rute, or the switch. Imagine a tight crop of dried twigs kind of bundled up together in a nasty black spiky looking thing. And the concept is that if you've been good that year, well, all's well and good and your boot will be full up with treats and good stuff. But if you've been bad, well, there's going to be nothing in your boot except a switch. And I was always hazy about this part as a kid, which meant that either St. Nick or your parents, having been given official sanction by some wild bearded guy from the woods, would whip you with. Weird. But cool. But weird. And then, in the lead-up to Christmas itself, well, then there's Advent. Well, four of them, actually. The four Sundays before the 24th are the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of Advent. And each Sunday, beginning in early December, this peculiar little ritual takes place. The Christmas tree goes up before the 1st of Advent, but it stays bare, just a live little pine somewhere in the corner of the living room. Then, at about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, there's Kaffee und Kuchen, coffee and cake. Now, it gets dark early this time of year. By about 5 or so, it's almost pitch black. So after Kaffee und Kuchen, and yes, it's cold and dark outside, and you're inside in the toasty warm with amazing things to eat. And then on the living room table, there will be a kranz, or a little wreath. And this kranz has four candles in it. And on the 1st of Advent, the first of these candles is lit. And then, in the warmth of family and the smell of candle wax, tea, coffee and cake, you sing.
Dass wir uns hier in diesem Tag noch treffen so viel hundertmal. Gott mag es lenken, Gott mag es lenken, er hat die Wahl. Gott mag es lenken, Gott mag es lenken, er hat die Wahl.
Every Advent, every Sunday, you light one more candle until finally all four candles are lit, and that means that Christmas is just around the corner. So this goes on, steadily building in anticipation and preciousness for each Sunday for 4 weeks. In the meantime, in the town squares, there are Christmas markets, and the towns all have lights hung in the streets. And here's another area where it's totally different over there. There's none of this uber-kitschy coloured lights everywhere. Usually it's just white light, strung everywhere, through the trees, and in every window there's a little glowing wreath. And if you know what Hyde Park looks like at night with the white lights and the trees, you can perhaps begin to imagine how gorgeous this look is. So my grandfather, on the last postal delivery day before Christmas, would be lying in wait. And then, when the postie came round, insist he'd come in for a quick schnapps and maybe slip him a 10-mark bill for his good service all year. Garbo's got the same treatment. And everybody did it. I swear you would not want to break suddenly in front of a garbage or a postal truck in the week before the big night. And then, when it's getting really cold now, and the advent calendar is all gone, well, eventually, it's the big night. Now, the Germans, along with much of Europe, do Christmas on the evening of the 24th. The 25th is just the day after, where everyone lies around with a hangover, or goes for long constitutionals in the snow. So the tension has been building for a month at this point, and as a kid you're going out of your head with excitement about all the stuff that you know Father Christmas is going to bring that night. But you ain't there yet. Let me set the scene. You've been locked out of the living room all afternoon, so you're roaming the house beside yourself with tension, whilst all the adults disappear behind the living room door and sound like they're having a whale of a time. Because it's now that the tree gets decorated. On the 24th, and never before. All the adults get together, drink wine and schnapps, and hang stuff on the tree, and have a great old time. But this time it's 4 or 5 again, and then everyone goes about their normal business for the sake of appearances for the kids. But we're still not allowed in the living room. Now it's time to dress up in our Sunday finest with scratchy collars and shiny shoes, and eventually, there's the bell from the living room. It's time! And here's where the torture really begins. Being made to act solemn and formal, and holding an adult by the hand, the children are now allowed to enter the room, totally transformed. Before was just the family living room, is now aglow with glistening things, wafting smells, and sweet, beautiful choral voices. And transformation. Der Weihnachtsmann ist da. Father Christmas has been. And the tree is beautiful. Real candles as well as electric ones, with a mound of presents underneath, glittering and sparkling in the light. The room is lit only by candles, the best tablecloth on the table, with piles of Kuchen and Stollen, Gebäck und Plätzchen, nuts and mandarins, the best things in the world to eat. And it's beautiful. And now the torture reaches its critical phase. Instead of being allowed to fall on the presents at will, now comes the time. First, the Christmas story. Some years an adult reads it, but more often the children do. And by now they must have memorized long and complex Bible passages, Es begab sich aber zu der Zeit, and recite them now slowly and patiently standing in front of the tree to the assembled family. And then more, it goes on. Every child must now either sing a song, or play an instrument, or even sometimes form little groups, say guitar, recorder and voice, and play a song or two that have been painfully learnt the preceding weeks. And all that time, the glittering bounty, just out of reach, beckoning, shining, but unattainable. Drink a glass or two, and now everybody sings. Solemn, joyous, calm. And the kids are going out of their mind! Vorfreude! It's torture! And then finally, when it can be put off no longer, the Bashir horn begins. Kids are given free rein, and from that moment, it's chaos and joy. And that's a German Christmas. And you know what?